The sermon from this week, for this week, is based on Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and I read this passage of Scripture in Jesus' name, Luke 24, 1 through 12, found on page 1642 in our pew Bibles. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all those things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened." Let us bow for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this portion of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this celebration of Easter, that the tomb indeed is empty, that the work of Jesus on the cross indeed was completed. He provided full satisfaction for all of our sins. He paid the price that we should have paid, but he did so out of love and in his mercy. So we worship you this morning. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son. We thank you that we serve a risen Lord and Savior, and that we can trust him not only today, but all the days of our life, and that we can worship him for all of eternity. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been people since the very beginning who have tried to explain away the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some have said, well, he didn't really die. He just looked dead. But of course, the Roman guard who pierced his side and saw the blood and the what looked like liquid, like water coming out of his side, evidence of his death. The fact that his legs were not broken on the cross, which would enable someone who was suffering to die quicker. His legs were not broken, again testifying to the fact that he, in fact, had died. Some have charged and claimed over the years that, well, the disciples who went to the tomb where Jesus was laid, they went to the wrong place. I know that was before the days of GPS. But there's some things you don't forget. There's some things you don't forget. Remember, the guards had to be bribed in order to not admit that Jesus was raised from the dead. Tell anyone that his disciples came and stole away the body. Again, remember that the stone over the tomb was sealed. Not sealed with something very strong, but it was sealed with something that would result in death if you tampered with that seal. Remember the disciples who, not too many days before, Peter said, "Even if everyone denies you, I will not. I'll even die before I deny you." And Jesus said, "Peter, three times you'll deny me." The evidence is there. The evidence in history, of course, anyone who was opposed to Christianity from the very beginning, all they had to do to discredit Christianity was to say, "Here's the body, here are the bones." No one has been able to discredit Christianity because they couldn't find the bones, they couldn't find the body, because he was raised from the dead. Let's look As we go through these verses, verses 1 through 3, we see, first of all, what the women did and did not find. We remember, we recall that they were going to the tomb, the place of the burial. They didn't have time to properly treat the body before the burial. So they came after the events of the Sabbath to add the spices and to do what they needed to do to show respect for that beloved rabbi who had died. And again, what is the expectation of the women? If you're bringing spices to a tomb, you're doing it to anoint and to wrap up a person that not only had died but was still dead. That is the expectation. When they went, we see it was on the first day of the week. Why do Christians from the very earliest days, the early church, of course, worshipped every day of the week, which is a good thing. I wish we could. But most of us have jobs. Most of us have things that we have to do. But the change from Saturday being the most important day of the week to Sunday being the most important day of the week was because of the resurrection of Jesus. From that very early time, it was called the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. First day of the week, very early in the morning, one translation says at early dawn. And what they planned to do, they were there to care for a dead body. They saw. They were eyewitnesses. They were watching the crucifixion. They knew what had happened. And out of love and respect, we read that the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. In one of the other Gospels, we read that the women weren't thinking until they got there, what are we going to do about the big stone? Once they got there, they realized they didn't have to worry about that. That was already taken care of. What they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They found an empty grave. They saw that something happened that they never would have anticipated. But what they did not find, even though the stone had been rolled away, they looked in. They didn't find the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because though he died, he didn't stay dead. We don't worship a Jesus of our imagination. We don't pretend that a resurrection happened that really didn't. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are to be pitied more than anyone else. If there's no resurrection from the dead, Christ himself was not raised. And the Apostle Paul said, people should look at Christians and say, oh, those poor people. They think something happened that really didn't. But the Apostle Paul went on to say, but Christ has been raised. Christ has been raised. The women, looking at the circumstances, didn't know what had happened. They might have been speculating. They might have been having their minds race at 100 miles an hour. But it was the heavenly messengers, the angels, that explained the significance of these events. We read the women were wondering and the angels appeared. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Angels appeared to give that message, to remind the women what had happened, to remind them of the significance of that event. And then we see that the women were frightened, and the angels asked some questions. In their fright, we read the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. They weren't worshiping the angels, but they were frightened. And the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Interesting question. Not the explanation at first, but an implied answer. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Implied that Jesus is living. He wouldn't be in a grave anymore. And then the angels explained the good news. They explained where Jesus was, where Jesus is not, and the why, the significance of that. He is not here. He is not here. And the reason for that, the why, is He is risen. He is risen. And then they said, remember what He said. Remember what He said. He said in Galilee, remember, they said to the women, remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee. And what is it that He said? He predicted the very events that would happen. He knew what would happen. Throughout His ministry, He was preparing and warning His disciples and apostles of what would happen. But especially as that day got closer, He warned them of what would happen. And again, they didn't understand what He was saying. They didn't understand until after the resurrection. Then they looked back. Then they remembered what He said. And He was also there to teach them and explain more fully. Jesus taught them the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Remember in the Gospel of John that Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, I lay it down freely. He sacrificed Himself so that by faith in Jesus, we might have our sins forgiven, so that by trust in Christ, we might have a home in heaven for all of eternity. I know some here have lost loved ones recently, and the pain that is there doesn't quit. It may get easier to cope as the years go by, but the pain is still there. That loss is still there. That hurt is still there. But there's hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. That our loved ones who have died trusting in Christ are in heaven. One of our prayer concerns this morning is for Dr. Munseth, the dean of our seminary. For many years, he was my teacher. He trained probably most of the pastors in the AFLC. On Good Friday, he had several heart attacks and went to be with the Lord. We're sad because of our loss, a loss for the AFLC, but you know what? Dr. Munseth is celebrating his first Easter in heaven, maybe along with some of our loved ones as well. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Also, the Son of Man must be crucified. He knew what would happen. He even knew the manner of His death. But He didn't stop there. And on the third day, the Son of Man must be raised again. And each of these phrases has, or the whole set of phrases, has the idea of must. It's a divine necessity. You can't say, well, He had to be betrayed and He had to die, but, well, the third part, well, that's kind of optional. That's not an option that Jesus gave. And if someone rejects the resurrection of Jesus, it's not based on history, not based on what the Scriptures teach. It's based on their speculation or philosophy, whatever their motivation might be. They heard these words, and we read that they remembered. They remembered His words. They remembered what Jesus said. Ah, we talk about an aha moment or when the light goes on. Well, of course. Of course He said that. Going on to verse 9, we see the return, the report, and the reaction to these events. First of all, the women return and report. At that time, women did not give testimony in a public court situation. But Jesus chose the women to be the first ones to tell other people about the resurrection. They return and they report. They come back from the tomb. I'm sure I would imagine in a hurry, anxious, wanting to tell people what had happened. And they reported. We read, they told these things to the 11. Then they told these things to all the others. They were pretty amazed and anxious about all that had gone on. And in verse 10, we see who these women are. It was Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out demons. We also read there was Joanna. Further, we read Mary, the mother of James. And we read also that there were others. And these ladies went and told the apostles. And again, the apostles, remember, didn't hear what the angel said. And their reaction was unbelief. But they did not believe the women. And it doesn't say they didn't believe the women because they were women. They didn't believe the news because it went against everything they saw. They saw their Lord die. They saw their Lord being put to death. They saw Him being put in the grave. We read their words seemed like them to nonsense. Seemed like nonsense. Then we have, especially about Peter, a wonder or an uncertainty. He heard those words. He didn't understand what was going on. Peter ran to the tomb. We read Peter bent over, looked inside, and saw the empty grave clothes. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. We read that Peter went away wondering. In the Gospel of John, we heard just a little bit ago, we read that it was not only Peter, but John and Peter ran together. And John, as he would not like to talk about himself other than calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. John said he got to the tomb first, but Peter went in. Peter saw. And that's where our text ends, but of course, that's not where the message ends. They came back and they said, the grave is empty, just as the women said. And shortly after that, Jesus appeared to them. And remember, even Thomas, and I know some people struggle with Christianity, with what the Word of God teaches. And sometimes people struggle and say, well, you know, I think scientifically and I have to have that proof, I have to have that evidence. And we have Luke who talked to the early eyewitnesses and wrote this account in the Gospel of Luke. We have other apostles, we have other people who saw the Lord Jesus Christ after His resurrection. Paul said in one incident, Jesus appeared to over 500 believers at one time. But even then, we read some doubted. Thomas said, until I touch where the nails went in and his side where the spear went in, I will not believe. And Jesus appeared again. He said, Thomas, behold, touch my hands, touch my side. And you know what? Thomas and his skepticism, his questions, his doubt disappeared. And he had belief. He said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Jesus showed to his early believers, his early disciples, that he had indeed been raised from the dead. They were convinced of the resurrection. It turned cowardly Peter, who denied Jesus three times, even one time before a slave girl. Surely you were one of his followers. I don't know the man. But after the resurrection and on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and accused some of the religious leaders. You put God's Messiah to death. What happened to Peter? He met and saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to Paul a little bit later, who was persecuting the church? And then when he became a Christian, when he was converted, the believers were afraid to let him in. Oh, we heard about him. We heard about him. And it was Barnabas that said, he's one of us. It's okay, he's a believer. And he went on to evangelize so much of that part of the country and went on several missionary journeys. We celebrate Jesus and his resurrection on Easter because he indeed died. And his death was not because of anything he had done wrong, but because he was paying the penalty for your sins and mine. But we also know there were eyewitnesses that testify as well that he didn't stay dead. He was raised on the third day. Even as he said, it must happen, it happened exactly in that way. We can know for certain that by faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross, we can know for certain that my sins are forgiven even today. Everything I've said, done, thought, my sin that is mine in my sinful nature has been paid for as well. By faith in Jesus, his righteousness is counted to my account. If you had an aunt or an uncle that passed away and they left their estate to you and all that went in your name, what did you do to earn or deserve that? Nothing. How many of you would say, oh, you know, I didn't earn or deserve that, so I don't want to take that estate. I don't want to take those millions of dollars. No, I wouldn't know what to do with it. You take it with gratitude. You take it and remember the love in which it was given. And even more so, we fall before Jesus. We worship him. We acknowledge our own sinfulness, our need for a Savior. And we trust in him who conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. The one who won for us the victory over our sinful nature and all of our sins. We celebrate by saying he is risen indeed, with Christians around the world, because we celebrate the final work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we can know for certain that what he did was sufficient even for my sins. And receive that gift by faith and enjoy that gift and walk with that gospel motivation all the days of our life on this earth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.